welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day
183. Or 666, according to Kim.
What?
She's put in the chat 666. I know that's the number of the beast.
Is it?
Or is it the devil?
What's going on?
I'm wondering what it's related to.
I don't know.
Kim, tell us. Or maybe...
Hello, Jonathan!
Or maybe she meant to put it in another chat. I've done that many times.
Have you really? It caused havoc, you mean?
Yeah, with one of my women.
Only one?
Do you not remember that? It was in the days of CompuServe.
Oh, good grief.
When we just got our first internet connection and we were in a chat room. And
I wasn't.
No, I was in the chat room. You were reading a book.
I was.
And...
Was this the one where you got offered certain services?
No.
Oh, that was another one.
Yeah. No, I got talking to this girl.
Well, he thought he did. Could have been a hairy backsided bloke.
It could. No, it was a girl.
He's lost his thread now.
I've lost my thread.
Easily done. Yeah. CQ, Deb. Kim, we need to know what's going on. Oh, no. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? This weather that you're saying, that, you know, you're going to get into lovely hot weather. It's still here. If you could arrange for it to be collected and removed down under, I would be most grateful. It's humid. It's horrible. And there's another ambulance.
No, I remember my story now.
Well done, Mike.
Yeah, I got talking to this girl and then I got talking to her sister and I was having a slagging off her sister to her, basically. I was slagging off her to herself, if you're with me. By putting the wrong thing in the wrong chat.
This is why I can't let you loose.
No.
No, definitely not. Anyway, 'tis most important.
Self-important man on night shift.
Oh, Simon.
Yeah, Simon.
Simon. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Very well done, Simon. Hello. What is today? 'Twas the night before the keynote. What's going on? Do we
M-E-J-M-P-S think... M-E-J-M-P-S and D.
Oh, the sixes. Yes, too right. Today is six day. The day of six. But it's worse than that because, have you checked the news out?
Yeah.
I skipped past the headlines, you know, panda. And I got to this bit that was like, you know, like a longer article with actually some useful information in it. And it said, based on where you are, what guidelines are in place. Well, as I went into it, we're in triple lockdown. You know, like on the quiz, pointless. Lockdown.
Oh.
Lockdown. We're in triple lockdown.
What does that mean?
Don't move. do not think of going anywhere. Don't move. No, all the rules apply and the strictest ones. And they're actually going to make Bolton stricter. I don't know how. It's already don't leave your house. I mean, I don't know what the next step is. I really don't know. But yeah, it's not good here. There is lots of talk about the second wave. That you know, we've got to work hard over the next few months so the second wave doesn't happen. Excuse me, have you seen the charts? The second wave, it's actually happening. I mean, it could get a lot worse. It's actually happening.
They've already done a full second lockdown in Israel.
Sometimes there are no words, Jonathan. So we could all go out grouse shooting, could we? No. The short answer to that. That's shocking. That shows you who's voting in the House of Commons on this. People who would go grouse shooting. I wouldn't go shooting animals anyway.
That's my birthday.
It is, the Glorious 12.
Yeah.
That's not the point, though, is it? Honestly. Oh, Kim, how did it go last night? It was 38 to 20-something as I left it. How did it go? Tell me. They were virtually finished, I think. Virtually. They were definitely in the fourth quarter-y thing. Doesn't it sound like I know what I'm talking about? Not at all.
Go shooting.
Simon, I could be persuaded.
They won. The Seahawks won.
Yay! Brilliant. Fantastic. Did their playing improve at all? See, Mike doesn't worry if they don't play well as long as they win. But I do like them to play well. Anyway, let's throw some stuff out there about tomorrow night's show. Do we think, Jonathan, close your ears. You're not going to want to hear this. Do we think there's a possibility of new AirPods? Because they've had a sale on the existing AirPods for 2 weeks now.
I'm not getting any more AirPods.
No, not after the last time.
No.
I much prefer the ones Tracy recommended, the overnight headphones. They are like AirPods, but obviously they're on a cable, but they're brilliant in bed. I love them. So I sometimes use those.
They're brilliant in bed, are they?
They're brilliant in
bed.
They're
good in bed.
They are fabulous in bed, Mike. You want to try them? And the other ones I use are
I might get me a pair.
There you go, then, you say. Sometimes they're on offer.
Instead of these AirPod things.
The other ones I use are the Tetronics.
How easy are they to clean?
In principle, they're fairly similar to the AirPods, but they've got this kind of... you know the thing that the AirPod Pros have got, the rubber thing that seals the sound? It's got that, so it doesn't actually get as bad as the other one. And you'd clean it in exactly the same way. Well, possibly not the way you cleaned it, because I'm still recovering from that. But yeah, that. I just dip it in alcohol, because I wouldn't be doing anything else with the alcohol, would I?
Well, I've got a little bit of red wine left, so I could try that.
Try red wine, it'd be sticky. Trying out. You are not a fan of over-the-ear AirPods. It's kind of like, why would you bother? Just use a proper pair of headphones. I don't know. Maybe they will bring something out, maybe they won't. It's quite a while since the standard AirPods were updated. I think that's March last year. So there's a little bit of scope there. We'll see what happens with that.
Now, my problem with the AirPods is nothing to do with the cleaning. I mean, that's one issue, but, you know, that's going to happen, whatever. No, it's half the time when I ring me mum, and it only seems to be when I ring me mum. Although I don't seem to ring many people anyway, do I?
No.
So I can't really test it. But it rings, but I can't hear her and she can't hear me. So the call's not being cut off. So in the end, this morning, after about three trying to ring her, I decided just to forget this device on my AirPods. And then she told me to calm down over the tech. And I said, but they cost me £200. They should just work.
We'll do some testing, Mike, and try and fix them for you. I did have a bit of an issue with mine, but that was a whole different story.
And what was your issue?
No, it was a whole different story. Oh, right. It wasn't to do with making a call, obviously. I don't think I've made a call in years. It was to do with the microphone on the headphones. You know, headphones like AirPods have the microphone on, don't they? And if you're trying to do something else with the thing and you've attached them to these Bluetooth headphones, because in your mind, they're just headphones, not a microphone, all heck breaks loose. Don't go there. Don't do that. Yes, that gave me big grief that I then had to sort out. Now, what else do we think? What about Apple TV? Is that still a hobby?
As opposed to what? A serious business tool?
Something that they actually care about and might actually update in a timely manner.
Well, they do care about it.
No, they care about the money.
Yeah,
they care about using it as a vehicle for shifting subscriptions.
That's what I mean. Without the Apple TV, you're not going to be able to watch your Jennifer Aniston's.
Of course you are. You watch it on your iPad.
Oh, yeah.
But if you wanted to AirPlay it to your TV, then you'd have to go through an Apple TV, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember the big one when it first came out? It used to be about the size of an airport Extreme.
Yeah.
And then it shrank down to a little black thing. Then it got a bit taller. Because at that stage, we bought one for Mum, if you remember. And we've got one gathering dust next to the TV.
Which is also gathering dust.
Which is also gathering dust. Do you know, I would seriously struggle now. I bet the battery's in the remote control are long gone. We just don't use them. But the Apple TV is actually handy as a presentation device. But maybe it's time for a new one. This is the HD one, isn't it? It must have come out 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Must have been years.
Johnny
and years
wouldn't
ago.
Update it, he says.
Love it. Not use it in months. Wouldn't update it. TV can't go above HD in any event. Mm, true. Yeah, I guess it depends on the TV, unless you're using it for other things. I'm not actually sure what they could do with it. It's more of a kind of... It's not a device that you can interact with in such a way that, you know, mine would be different than yours. It's a facilitation device to get your media content onto another device. So it's like...
It's a go-between.
It's a go-between. Is there anything that they could do that would, like, you know... Oh, I know what they could do that would get people to buy it.
There's get a football on it.
No, no, no. There's a rose gold one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, change the colour. When in doubt, no new features, change the colour. There you go. They'll tell us about the watch. I think the watch is probably a gift and probably available for order on Friday. Maybe even straight away. Don't know. Took the decision last year. I did when they announced the It's Always On. I thought, I really like that idea. I think they did give us a little bit of time to think about it, though, didn't they? It wasn't that it was on order straight away.
Yeah.
Once I thought about it, I thought, you know what? No. Now, my rationale was perfectly logical. Obviously, as things have panned out, yeah, less of an issue. But what I was thinking was, you know when you have it set, your watch, to automatically come on with the motion thing? So technically, you look at it and it's supposed to turn on. I turned that off. I use the theatre mode thing that we call mass mode.
Yeah, mine never comes on. I must have turned it off as well.
You probably turned it off. It saves the battery.
Yeah.
Right. But when I had it turned on, the watch face I use the most is the one with the big circles on. So it shows you the time. It shows you your calories burnt. Shows you the number of minutes exercise and the number of hours that you stood.
Yeah, and I've also got the clock, the date in the top corner.
Well, I don't have that. I have the breathing thing. I have the activity thing and I have the alarm down the bottom.
I've got Spotify down the bottom for some reason.
I also have another face that I really like, which is the really detailed one, where you can put 8 apps on it. So I have due. I have the miniature health thing. I have the alarm and timer thing. I have the battery in the top corner. So they're all around the edge. And then inside it, I have the date showing. I have the activity monitor thing. I have drafts and I have things. But what I noticed was when you moved your wrist and your watch lit up, I guarantee you, every time it happened, whoever I was sat with would say, "What's that? What's those numbers?" And I'm like, "They're my health stats. Back off, dude." So I decided in the end, this feature of it always being on would only give me more grief. Because now, with this, if I move it, it doesn't come on. So no one asks any stupid questions. But I thought people would be asking stupid questions. And then we went into lockdown and nobody would be asking anything, would they? No. So actually, I would have got 6 months' use out of that. Although the battery wouldn't have lasted as long. So there's a possibility it might be looking at a watch. Not sure. Not sure. Jonathan thinks we'll hear about Apple Silicon. I was hoping we would. I'm not sure if it's a little bit too soon.
So it's the arm thing?
Yeah.
There was a story this morning.
Mm?
There was a story this morning on the news that Arm's been sold to Nvidia.
Well, this is Apple Silicon, isn't it? So I don't know if that would make that much difference.
Is it different?
But I'm thinking if there is no iPad, it would make sense that there would be another one of these new style keynotes in October, which they have done before. They've done a September one and an October one. And maybe they would keep that back till then and then announce computers as well for Black Friday. Don't know. We'll see on that one. I'd just like to know where they're heading in case there isn't, you know, an iMac imminent, but I don't think there will be. I really don't think there will be. So it's just a matter of, if they mention it, it would be nice to give us some idea. But then they'll only do it in such terms as like...
Available later this year.
Yeah, you know, Timmy's quarter four. Can I tell you when that is? 5 to midnight, 31st of December.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
If you're lucky. For pre-order the following February, which was what he did last year. So I don't think we're going to get anything in the way of accurate
dates. When you're getting down here, grilling.
When Timmy arrives for his grilling.
Can you tell him to be a bit more accurate on his timelines?
Yeah, I'll get my bite of Siri on that straight away. Oh, talking of which, who's delinquent? Because Siri did have something to do with that, didn't he? Enticing Timmy. Mike's totally forgot the Siri sketch. Oh, Kim's got an appointment tomorrow. Oh, Kim, that's bad planning. Oh, no. Well, we'll be here virtually, you know, probably about 5-6 hours. So just pop in when you can. We'll still be here. These AirTags things aren't of interest to me. Not going anywhere to lose anything. Exactly. Do you know, there's been talk about AirTags for how long, Mike? Years. Can you just imagine that they're released now?
They'd hold them back.
It's a bit of no. I don't think they would. I think, you know, if they were ready, I could actually see it. But it's just like when they announced the iPads and people were like, "Yeah, that's lovely. Can I have an iMac?" Because they were at home and they wanted a proper computer. It just seems like they're trying to release things at the most inopportune moments.
Wash your mouth out.
What?
An iPad is a proper computer to some people.
That depends what you're trying to do with it. And if you're trying to do what I'm trying to do with things, it's not a proper computer.
To me, it's not.
It's an iPad. And it's highly functional in terms of what an iPad is best doing. But just like I could probably paint a wall with a trowel, I'd rather use a brush, if it's all the same with you. But if I wanted to build a wall, I wouldn't fancy using a brush. Let's just accept that they are totally separate tools for separate jobs, and not drink the Apple Kool-Aid of it's a real computer, because that very much depends on your definition. Right, the only thing Jonathan's in the market for is the watch, because the 11 Pro and a new iPhone, not going to get any outings this year. Watch is the only thing you'd use, but it'd have to be super cool. Yeah, I think with the watch, did you get the last watch, Jonathan? Which was the 5, wasn't it? I've got the 4, Mike's got the 3, and we have a spare 2 on the shelf, just in case one of the others goes bye-bye. Yeah, you see, Jonathan did get the last one. I didn't get the last one. So my concern with the watch is not that there's anything wrong with the one I've got at the moment. My concern would be if the battery went in Mike's or the battery went in mine, you know, it started lasting a lot less, then we'd only have to buy one like 6 months in anyway. So it might be time to upgrade just from that. But I don't think in terms of features. I mean, do you think they'll make it bigger? Maybe better battery life. The always on thing I probably would use in the house. And now I'm in the house a lot. I probably would use that. I actually find with a watch, I did this last year, which was, you know, the watch was announced and it's like, oh, new watch. And then I thought about it and decided against it. But I thought, it's a shame, really. So I got myself a new strap and the watch feels
See you,
like...
Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. The watch feels like a new device because it's got a new strap on it. So I then feel it's like getting a new case for your iPhone that when you've not upgraded, you kind of feel better about it. I find the cases, and in the case of the watch, the strap, they do make a heck of a difference as to how you interact with a device. When I had iPad 1, I used it and I loved it. The app I probably used the most on it was probably OmniFocus. But I really, really, really can't emphasise how enough, really, I hated the case. But you felt, you know, you'd spent such a lot of money on this thing and the other cases that are out there weren't that much better anyway, that it needed to be in a case, when actually I think it would probably have been a far better idea not to have it in a case at all. But I kept it in that case until I upgraded, which was only 10 months later. They brought that out in March 2011. And that was because the iPads came out 6 weeks earlier in the States. So it was the birthday anniversary in the States. But it meant that, you know, you were upgrading after only 10 months. Once I got the iPad 2 with the magnetic cover on it, I then started getting more adventurous with the iPad 1. So I ditched the case, which was absolutely hideous. Worst product Apple I've ever made. And I just put this gel back on it and it totally changed how I used it. So I'm now quite careful when I'm buying a device as to what sort of case I want to put it in. The last one I got was the iPad 11, and obviously with the pencil stuck to the side, that actually really did limit you in terms of the cases. I think you basically needed to go for like a wraparound magnetic thing stuck to the back and turning it on and off at the front, or one of those with a keyboard. And I went for a very inexpensive wraparound thing. But I still wish, I sometimes, quite a lot of the time actually, I will pick up an older iPad because it's in a case and I don't have to fiddle with it as much to get it propped up in a stand and, you know, put something on like the iPlayer or something. It's just fractionally easier. Obviously, I love pencil too, but it is just fractionally easier. So yeah, if you are not upgrading your watch, but treat yourself to a new strap. I think mine cost me the princely sum of about £3.99. And it's a white one. When I got my first watch, I think it was white, the strap. When I got the second one, it was grey. And when I got the third, again, it was white. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to use the white Apple strap. It was hideous. It got discoloured so quickly. And the kind of dirt that got on it, you couldn't get off. So in the end, I switched it out for the old white strap. The one that I've got at the moment is fractionally different. It was the only one I could find that was white and fitted the watch that I've got, which is the big one. And instead of that kind of, I don't know how you describe it, where you have the hole and you pop the hole in the strap over this like stud, and then you slide the other strap into like a slot. Mine actually has a proper like hook system. It does make it more difficult to try and put it on with one hand, but it does feel much more secure. And I've had that strap on for probably since this time last year. It looks like new. And yet the Apple one was filthy inside 4 weeks and stained with like pen marks and stuff that just would not come off. But this one, it does, it looks like new. Would be a shame to just get a new strap this year, but you know, it's got to be done if you're not buying the watch. An orange strap waiting in the wings. Oh, wow. But you go through straps fast. I don't know why. I think I had a navy blue one at one point, and I did get a replacement grey one, and I had that on for quite a while. But what I could tell from that was it had like a pattern on it, like embossed lines going down the side, which meant that bits of it were quite thin, and that was the bit that split in the end. This one is identical to the Apple one, apart from the attachment underneath. But it's amazing just how fantastic they are, given the price. Because people were saying to me, oh, you know, fancy getting an Apple Watch. Have you seen the price of just a strap? And I'm like, no. How much is a strap? Because I don't look at the Apple ones. I am not bothered. No one could tell that this strap wasn't an Apple one. So why would I pay silly prices for the Apple one? Even Mike, you've got a totally different one, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's, well, Apple. It used to be a Milanese loop, but that's not a Milanese loop, is it?
It's a metal one.
It's a metal strap where you need to take links out to make it the right size. And then the catch is kind of a flip over thing where you flick it open and that makes the entire strap bigger so you can slide your hand in and out. And then you fold this clip back on itself to seal it. But you've had that ages and it's not needed any maintenance or anything?
No, the Milanese loop was coming apart.
That was my problem because I had a Milanese loop as well. And I used that as kind of evening wear so it didn't look like I was walking around with a Fitbit on. And my Milanese loop, at the edges, the kind of metal that's like woven around itself, one bit would split. And it would catch on clothes, it would catch on your skin. So then it has to go, even though to look at it, it looks fine. And the same thing happened with you. So I think we've had three Milanese loops, haven't we?
Mm.
But at the moment,
I've certainly had two.
I would just put a different coloured strap on it. I did have a black strap at one point. How long did I have that? It was one of the early ones, that. I just thought black would look better, even though I didn't have a black watch. But yeah, I have had quite a few straps, but I don't think all of them together, and probably including Mike's in that, would come to the price of one Apple strap. Do you remember Minster's collection of straps? He had the most amazing collection. He had several ones that were just different colours. He then, because he went biking in it, didn't he? So he had like a strap that had a little sort of cover for the face of the thing. I guess in case he fell off or, you know, something hit him. But I think he must have had about eight. And he even had like a little case that you could put them in. Oh, it was fabulous. But I'm not that bad.
I must admit, to me, a strap's a strap's a strap.
There is a difference, I would say, between the plastic ones and a metal one.
No, I wouldn't have half a dozen. And this one's for evening wear. And this one's for the... I mean, yeah, if you're riding your bike or whatever, you might go for a more sturdy one in case, like you say, you fall off.
Yeah, but, that kind I can understand, but I find it a bit fiddly. I mean, you've never really changed a strap, I do it.
No, I've done. I have changed a couple of them.
It's just quite fiddly, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say I couldn't be bothered when I'm getting ready to go out in the evening. Not that I've done that for 6 months. Yeah.
All the excitement of going to change my watch strap, yeah, is
exactly,
going out.
Exactly.
Come on, it's going to be at least what, 2-3 years. Now, if I want an always-on watch face, no one's going to ask questions about it, unless you think about it, which, you know, pro tip, don't do that, Mike. Wouldn't end well. No, I could see me doing that, but strap-wise, I'd probably stick to what I've got. I don't find, a lot of people don't like the plastic ones, because they say it's too hot, and it makes the skin
that
strange.
That happened with
me. I did have that with one strap. It was the grey one. But this one, no, there's no marks on it underneath, where you can say, oh yes, you've had your watch strap on. But there was with one of the other ones, you're quite right.
I remember not long after I'd got the first watch, which was...
2017.
Yeah, it was the watch you gave me, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my two.
Yeah, the strap broke and I tried to glue it back together.
Oh, I remember that. You were out at work, weren't you?
I was at work, yeah. And... I thought you'd go mental with me because I've broken the strap, but so I tried to glue it.
But, why would I go mental with you? It's probably a replacement anyway.
But you live and learn, they're meant to break. They're not meant to last forever.
Oh, no, because that's Apple recurring got, income,
yeah,
for Apple.
Exactly. Apple have got a revenue stream.
You are so naive. No, they're definitely not meant to last forever. Oh, Kim has a plastic one for when she goes swimming.
Yeah, there's another reason.
Yeah.
Going swimming, sports.
Yeah. No, I would change for certain events. I don't think I did for like Ladies' Night last year. But to be honest, I was too busy blowing balloons up.
Yeah.
We had about 14 bottles of helium, about 25 tables. Each table needed a minimum of like 4 or 5 balloons. The dance floor was covered with balloons. So I think I spent about 7 hours blowing balloons up, which watch strap I had on was complete, you know, never mind.
I did see your question, Simon, but I haven't got an answer.
Oh, what's that? No, I haven't seen your question, Simon, but I will go and
have a look. Does anyone have any experience of backing up Office 365-based email prior to moving it to another service and migrating Office 365-based email to Gmail?
No, is the short answer. I've never done that from Office. What I would suspect... I could get the mail out for you. It's getting it into Gmail. That would be the issue. Does Gmail not have an importer of some description?
I'm thinking PST. It's the only thing I can think of.
That's viable, that. That is viable.
Have you got Outlook, Simon?
That's not going to work, is it?
Is that the only way to create a PST using Outlook? Probably is.
Probably is. You need a container.
Yeah.
Don't you, to get the mail from one place to another? DevonThink could get it out of 365. I've not tried going back the other way, but it is an EML, so I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah.
But in terms of an automated solution, you'd need an importer for Gmail. Surely there is one.
Well, We're all looking at our settings now.
On your computer, open Gmail. In the top right-hand corner, go to the settings. In the account, accounts and imports, click import mail and contacts. So, yeah, Gmail's got an importer. So, where do you need that? Gmail. Basically, what can that hook into to import it? I would have guessed there would be an importer.
So that's, how do you get to the importer?
It said top right settings.
Yeah, I've got there. After that.
Let me have a look.
Is it accounts?
Oh, hang on. They changed all the settings, didn't they?
Yeah, but you can still get to your full settings.
Yeah, so see all settings.
Yeah.
And in the second section, so it's accounts and import. I can see accounts, don't see an import.
I don't see import.
Well, you could add a... Are you actually shutting down the 365? Because you can actually check mail from another account. So you're trying to encourage her. Gmail will connect to 365 if that's any use. There's an option to add a mail account.
Will Outlook connect to Gmail? Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Because that's what I do.
Yeah. I'm just wondering here why there is now no longer that option. Heaven knows how old that is.
Yeah, that'd do it, Paul. Load both accounts into Outlook and transfer the messages across. Isn't that what I did with my mum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she wanted the old mail. Yeah, I find it quite strange that, I must admit. I don't treat email as my life's work, so I don't feel that I need to drag it round behind me on a chain like Marley.
Mm.
I just need access to the information that was in the mails. I'm less concerned about the actual mail. So, yeah, you've got a few options. You could go into Gmail, go into the settings, accounts, and add the 365 account as a mail account to be checked from Gmail. You could do the Paul thing, which is exactly what I did with the... My calendars were slightly different. But yeah, similar to what I did with the calendars. Once you've got them open in a sidebar, you can just juggle them from service to service. You can do the same with contacts. So BusyCal is good for that, and BusyContacts is good for the contacts. They've inherited a complicated and expensive Outlook SharePoint system. You want to move everything to Google, we have it free, endless account creation allowance. But you need to take the mail with you, is the issue. So you don't really want to have that. Just thinking. I'm assuming it'll be free with Google because it's a charity, which begs the question, why is Microsoft charging? But even if they weren't, it's a complicated setup.
Hi, Tracy. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Anthony. Hello, Tracy.
Simon, I'm guessing Paul meant Outlook.
The Outlook client.
I certainly meant the app, yeah. I'm assuming Paul meant the same.
Surely you can export, though. Like you're saying, if you could log in through a browser to 365 and then export to a PST... Then you could use that PST to import, surely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there a mail client? Oh, I know what might do it. They're still around, believe it or not. Firebird. They did try killing it, but a bit like, what's it? It's alive. No, not the database thing. Was it Firebird? Thunderbird. Fire, Thunder, something. Mozilla. Mozilla email client. Mozilla email.
Is this on...
Thunderbird, that's
Thunderbird.
The one.
Is this on Windows or a Mac? If we're talking Outlook.
Ah, but you see, the problem Mrs. Simon's got is when we're talking multiple people as well.
Yeah.
I reckon Google would be quite happy to talk to you about that. And possibly they can do something at their end.
The other thing I was thinking of was O2M. By littlemachines.com.
Oh, yes.
Which I reviewed in about MacBytes 2.
Yeah, MacBytes episode 2.
Something like that.
It was a long time ago. Thunderbird might give you some assistance, but I think if you're moving multiple people, how many people?
Google. Are Google, Google might be happy to talk to you about
Yes, Google. If you're moving to Google and you've got multiple people and you're a charity, then I would suspect they would be more than happy to discuss with you ways that they could, like, hook in from the back end their people to your 365 setup and just migrate the lot. Because, you know, it's good for them that they've got more people with them. If you were going to try to do this yourself, then I'd have to say how many people are involved. How many accounts are you trying to move? They did help you with the initial account. Take lots of hoops to prove the charity status. Yeah, once you've done that, once you've convinced them you are a charity, they will probably be more than happy to help you. It's good for them to have charities on their platform. So work out first. Don't go back to them until you are absolutely certain how many people are involved. Ballpark figure of what number of males we're talking about across how many accounts. What you would like setting up. What you don't want to transition across. So have your own little action plan before you go to them. But once you have and you've defined exactly what you want, it's worth asking them if that's something that they could help with. And I think you'll find they probably would. They are very annoying, Google, when it's an individual Gmail account that's totally for free, not hooked up to any business. If you want to go beyond that into the G Suite side of things, or which is where you would be, the charity-based G Suite system, they do have dedicated teams to help with it. So when Simon initially mentioned it, I thought it was like one account to one account. But if we're talking an organizational transfer,
corporate level equivalent of.
Yeah, then yeah. I think they're there. They have teams that would do that. So give that a try before you do anything else. They can only say no, but, you know, you do have the advantage of saying, we're a charity, please help us. And they probably would, because they do have systems in place for that to work. So I think they would just hook into it. It wouldn't cost them anything to sort that out, only like the time it would take. But it's a process that they do daily. So I think they would help you with that. Try that first before you do anything else. What did I have this open for? Oh, yes, I was looking. Thunderbird. Do you know, I actually did use Thunderbird once. It was actually pretty good. They tried killing it and they didn't get anywhere with it because then it was taken over by open source people. And it's still there today. Good. I will love to hear how you get on with that. Hopefully they will help you out. But, you know, particularly if you already set it up, they should definitely be there and ready. So what else are we hoping for tomorrow apart from a phone that nobody has a use for and a watch that we're in two minds about? I see they've also updated the firmware on the AirPods. Maybe that's your problem.
Oh, could be.
Yeah. Are you up to date? Mike, up to date. Up to date, Mike. Yeah, never. Not in the same continent.
I've only got 48 apps to update on this phone.
Yes, Mike. Right, Bloomberg say we're going to see the Apple Watch 6, an all-screen iPad Air. What's an all-screen?
One that goes right to the edge.
Oh, cool. That's a pain in the backside. You want to try and use the Face ID on that. And Apple Silicon Max by November. It's all speculation. These, just to give this some kind of context, these people... Yeah, these are the same people who said that we were going to have a shiny new Mac that was going to be Apple Silicon and it was going to be a complete industrial redesign and it would be here in June.
Yes.
These are those people and yet they still have a job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paul's hoping for a price drop.
It's always worth trying, Paul.
Quote of the night.
In anything particular or just across the board? Simon used Thunderbird, but got nervous with the amount of sun setting. Well, it's revived now, and the revival is that it's Mozilla are involved, but it's maintained by open source underneath the Mozilla umbrella. So you could potentially go back to using that. I must admit, I don't. I did do, but I haven't had it installed for the last 3 years because I use Mailplane. But the number one feature of Mailplane for me is that there is a shortcut which sends the current mail to DevonThink. If there was a way to do that, then I'd be fine. I mean, I guess you could print it, but the problem with printing it is you lose the live links. So the way Mailplane does it, it does it as It's called clipping it. But it doesn't actually mean like attaching it to something else in terms of clipping. It means taking the exact mail, making a PDF of it, and all the links are still alive. So I wouldn't want to particularly switch from that. Sometimes I use a browser, but what I then have to do, if I do want to clip a mail to DevonThink, I have to tag that as like clip to DevonThink and then go do it when I'm back in Mailplane. But yes, I'm going to have a look at it. I'll have a look at Thunderbird. Tracy would be in the market for an iPad Air with a view to giving it to your son, his first new iPad. He's always inherited one of mine, which was often handed down from his father. Yeah, these iPad Airs that come out, they're not bad. I mean, I've recommended that to about 4 or 5 people. In fact, the people who come to me and say, like, I'm in the market for an iPad, which one should I get? I never, ever recommend the Pro because they're not Pro users. So all that power would be sat there and they wouldn't be particularly using it. So the first step with which iPad should I get is probably the size, because you wouldn't even be talking about a Pro if you want a small one like a Mini. And the next thing is like, and what are you doing with it? So obviously, if you're doing the multiple screen thing, the split screen, and you've got 2 demanding apps open and you've got a lot of other stuff going on, then the Pro will have an advantage. The reason I always go for the Pro is so I don't have to think. I know if I get the Pro model, as soon as it comes out, it will last for a certain number of years before it reaches the stage it can't be updated. And I don't have to then think about, oh, well, you know, I'd be better using that one rather than that one because this one was a Pro and that one's not a Pro. But for most people, the iPad Air is actually incredibly good value. I recommended it to a lady who works at a school, and she was saying that she couldn't get a discount because the school weren't in Apple's purchase program. And I said, you don't need to be. You just need to be in education or working for a charity and you get a discount. Simple as that. You might have to register for it, but you will get a discount. And in the end, she got, I think it was 15, 20% off. If you're in the UK and you work for the NHS, you get a discount. They do have integrations with a lot of companies where all the employees of the company get a discount. Makes you wonder in the end who's actually paying full price. Because the other way to get a discount is a business discount. So if you have a business, particularly if you go into an Apple store, so I did this many moons ago, you pay less. They will give you a business quote and it's usually somewhere between 10 to 15% off, just across the board because you are a business. Now, there used to be a minimum purchase on that. So the first time you went in and you wanted this business discount, you used to have to spend, I think it was in excess of £2,000 or £2,500. So what I did was I waited until I was buying my first MacBook Pro and I bought with it Final Cut Pro, which obviously took the price to over £2,500, which got me registered as a business. Instantly, I got 15% off that. So it's like virtually not paying the VAT or 3/4 of the VAT, which you're going to claim back anyway. So it is a proper discount. And then after that, even though I only went in and wanted like one iMac and it was, say, £1,400, you still got the discount off that, which they don't exactly make clear, do they? So if there's any way you could convince them you were a business, and in this day and age, you know, long gone are the days of you need to bring in your printed letterhead. Because like, who's got a printed letterhead? It counts if you're freelance. So really, you just need to go in and say, I'm a business. And they say, like, oh, what's your business called? And you say, you know, like, Elaine Giles. Fair enough. And then they register you as a business. I don't know any more about that initial purchase, but it's something worth looking at, definitely. Ah, Anthony struck gold. There you go. A migrate option in the G Suite admin console. Oh, I very seldom wander in there, Anthony. Which will let you transfer data from Office 365. You need to log into the G Suite and choose data migration. Never done it. But yeah, how far wrong could you go, Anthony? There's a question. If that option's there, then contacting Google would mean that the only difference would be I wonder actually if you could transfer from multiple accounts at once. You might be able to do it yourself, but I'm sure as a charity they will be able to give you some assistance with that as to whether that would actually do exactly what you want. But that sounds grand. Isn't it good when you find something like that? Well done, yeah. Anthony. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I didn't think of looking in there. I always look in my account. And there is options in there, but obviously you'd want to do it at, I'll say corporate level, but, you know, organisational level, basically. We do have an E3, don't we? Is it an
E3? It's, I think it's an E3.
We have an E3 on my business, which we've only really used for demos, don't we? And you need it for the software. Because you don't get that in 365. But we don't actually like store everything on there. So we could see it from that end. And we do have two, three, four G Suites, which is like the pro level of Google Mail. But for that, I have to pay more for storage, which peeves me, doesn't it, on a regular basis. And there goes Idiot Neighbour of the Night. Do you know, it's every time they go in. It's the same alarm that goes off about four times a week.
True.
I swear if that alarm was going off for 6 hours, I wouldn't even so much as look out the window. So if you're going to put an alarm in, don't have it going off every 2 minutes. Because when it goes off because somebody's walking up the path with your TV, no one cares. All they care about is that the burglars have actually, you know, taken a hammer to the alarm. At which point we'd clap them as they waltz off with your TV because we're sick of the noise. Does this happen to anybody else or if it's just me? Is it the same neighbour that's washing the car? No. No, it's not. It's on the other side. It is the same neighbour that has the bike, the motorbike that he sits revving.
But he's happy.
But he's happy. Yeah. Brain dead, but happy. Some complete idiots. It's on the other side. It's on the right side, Kim. The one with the car washing is on the left side. Do you know... Living in the middle of nowhere is appealing at times, isn't it? Mm. We went to visit a friend and he lives in a place called Rawtenstall, which is quite rural, isn't it, around the town centre?
Yeah.
And he lives like up this cul-de-sac. Beautiful garden. And it was so quiet. And he's a musician. So he's had this extension. They extended the kitchen and then built upwards. So there is an upstairs part of this extension. And it's his music room. And it's fabulous. He's got all kinds of stuff in there. Very tiny windows. And I said to Mike, just listen, it's so quiet. And it was for 15 minutes. Then all of a sudden, we nearly jumped out of our skin, didn't we? There was this like, woo-hoo! So what the hell was that? And the guy who lived there said, oh, that's the train. It's every 15 minutes. Said to Mike, yeah, it was quiet, but I couldn't be doing without every 15 minutes. Can you imagine trying to do a show?
Mm.
Hang on, 30 seconds, just a minute. Woo, woo! Right, quick, we've got 15 minutes. Oh dear. And it's the end of the line. Rawtenstall is literally the last station at the end of the line. And I think, although when we went past the station to get to this guy's house, it was probably about a 2 mile trek. You've basically gone in a circle to get to this dead end, and the train station was a lot closer than I thought it was, so I think it was only about 200 yards away, so not surprising that you could hear it. Oh dear. Anthony's got a charity account, so it should be the same. Excellent. Your neighbourhood is crazy. Tell me about it. The trains are it's not a through station. It is the end of the line station. So I think the tooting is to announce that the train is arriving. I don't think it goes on through the night. But it was, considering the windows were closed, it was loud. I nearly jumped off the chair I was sat on. It was very loud. We'd passed the station, but because it had taken us like a 10-minute drive after that, we assumed the station was like 5 miles away. But obviously it wasn't, because we'd like gone in a circle. But I couldn't be doing without. I could not be doing that. It's a beautiful place. But I'd rather have like the odd ambulance and stuff. I mean, the other night when I was doing some work on Brooklyn's 196 things, I was recording and I could hear this ambulance coming in the distance. You know, and straight away I can tell my tone is changing because I'm now peeved. But I thought, just finish it off. and when it's gone, do it again. So I did. When I came to the edit, you could not hear the ambulance. But because I can hear it at the point I'm recording it, your voice automatically changes because you're getting narky. You're getting to panda point, where I need to see my panda. The thing is, I've often thought, well, what if I just put like, not AirPods, but actually earplugs in so I can't hear the noise, and that way I will ignore it. But the problem with that is if the noise is loud enough to be picked up, but I can't hear it because I've got, you know, earplugs in, and I have ear defenders as well, like the kind you would see when they're digging the road. If I do that, the first time I'll hear the problem is in the edit, and then I'll have to go back and re-record it anyway. So I've decided not to do that. But if everyone could just be quiet at 3 a.m, I'd be very grateful. But, you know, ambulances careering past at that time of night, they're not supposed to use the blues and twos unless there is something in the way or they are warning people that they are coming through. And at 3 a.m, there should be no need for that. They can have the flashing lights, just turn the siren off for crying out loud. But sometimes, particular police, they do leave both on. So they and if it's police and it's 3 a.m. and the blues and twos are on, then I can guarantee you there will be at least 3 lots over the next 2 minutes. So when the first one's gone past, I just stop. I'm like, la, la, la. Oh, there's the other one in the distance. And the thing is, you can never hear them, can you? Until they're on top of us.
No.
So maybe my hearing's a bit better. And the dog was the same. Mm. He'd be quite happily digging away in the sandpit. No problem. And I'd hear an ambulance and I'd say to Mike, ambulance. And Mike went, can't hear it. Sure. I said, I'm positive. I must be hearing it on the main road, which is about 3/4 mile away.
Yeah.
And as he gets louder and louder, all of a sudden you'd see Mayer tense. And his head would go on one side. He's looking. And then he acknowledges that it's an ambulance. And then he'd wait a fraction longer. And you'd be watching him. And you would know he would either just kind of go and carry on doing what he was doing, or he'd really tense himself. He'd throw his head back and you could see his throat going and he'd start howling. You're like, oh God, the neighbours. He only ever howled at ambulances. We can't tell the difference between an ambulance, the ambulance blues and twos, the fire engine or the police blues and twos. Can't tell the difference, but he could. Absolutely he could. We couldn't even see the ambulance either. But we'd go in and Mum would say, that was an ambulance. And we'd say, yeah, he howled. She said, I heard him. But it was only ever an ambulance. He was amazing. The sense he had, like a wild animal. And, you know, all the neighbourhood dogs kind of looked up to him because they never did that. But he would do that no matter what, wouldn't he? He could be out on his walk. He could be playing. He could be in the house. He could be asleep. And if it was an ambulance, he was there. Once he'd made his mind up, that was it. It was a rousing chorus to whoever was going past. Panda point. Yes, it's the panda point. It's like the panda line. You know, everything up to that point I can cope with. But beyond that, we get the panda out. They are so gorgeous. Lola would love a panda to play with, wouldn't she?
She would.
God, Mayer would. I'm not sure, actually, because he had a thing with black dogs, didn't he?
True.
He was very, very jealous of black dogs. He spent his entire life trying to turn himself into jet black. He tried mud. He tried oil. He tried printer toner. I think the printer toner was the one that freaked me out the most, because when he went under the table, he was pure white. When he came out, he looked like a Dalmatian. And I'm like, oh, has he eaten it? No, he just liberally spread it all over himself. Crazy dog. Crazy, crazy dog. Lola doesn't do the ambulance thing at all. Even when you can see it's an ambulance and you can see they're obviously rushing, particularly with this COVID thing. Not a peep. I have no idea why, because I have seen girly Samoyeds that do that. But no, she's not bothered. She's too laid back, isn't she? She has people for that. If you could just howl, Mike, that'd be great. Right, well, I am going to have to make an early dart tonight because I have an 8 o'clock, like last Monday. I have my book club to deal with. But I will be making up for that tomorrow when we are here virtually all day. We are here 3 hours earlier tomorrow. 3 hours earlier. So it's marooned minus three. I've just spotted that I missed that there. Tracy said Jammy so-and-so never been offered a business discount. What? Why not? That was just normal. Ring an Apple store. Have you got one locally? But try the local Apple store. Ring them up and you should, when you get to the, press one for this and two for that, business should be an option. Don't ask for a business discount or in terms of like, do you do such a thing as business discount? Just say, I'd like to register for a business. What's the discount? And that way they'll think that you know something that they don't know, because Apple are masters of not actually telling people that that's available. But trust me, that is available. So just say you can't really say you've recently moved, but you could have switched from PCs. You could have done something that this is the first time you're trying to register. But just say that, you know, you've been recommended and et cetera. And what is the level of business discount that they offer? And then they're going to be put on the spot and have to tell you. I didn't have to do all of that. But then at the time, I was going into the Apple store every week. They had a scheme called one-to-one. And I went in every week. So the business people knew me. And it all went like that with a £2,500 order. But good luck with that. But for the moment, oh, Paul's thinking about not going to bed. You need to be rested, Paul, as does the credit card. Credit card's currently in the freezer. Not even joking. Hopefully, the one thing I do hope that we see tomorrow is that they are sensible about this and that they give us to Friday to put in our orders. Because sometimes you do need a couple of days to just think about it. And it does annoy me greatly when they do that.
The credit card isn't in the freezer, by the way. I had to take it out because I needed room for the Magnums.
Magnums credit card. Yeah, but good choice, Mike. Good choice. But for the moment, I am going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you tomorrow for Keynote Day. Stay safe, guys.